Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hong Kong. Hong Kong has been the center of stories and great, great anguish over these last years. But now Hong Kong is the center of a story about security listings, especially IPOs, the very attractive new companies in China, in the United States, around the world that speak to the future. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, is with me as my guide because this will get confusing. Confusing in Asia, confusing in North America until these rules shake out. The headline is, China's new rules on overseas IPOs will apply to Hong Kong, securities regulator says. We go to Hong Kong. Our colleague Andrew Collier, managing director of the Orient Capital Research in Hong Kong. Andy, I want to ask a general question. These new rules that are coming from the United States, from China, from Europe, are they right now understood as confusing to everyone, so it's okay if we admit our ignorance? Good evening to you, Andy.
John, very good question. I'm supposed to be an expert on this, and I find myself very confused. The real question is the future of Hong Kong. Will it act as a financial center to list Chinese companies for international investors? I think the answer is yes, but now we're getting into a kind of a regulatory quagmire where Hong Kong is in the middle of U.S. and Chinese jurisdictions in some cases. So the news you just said is that where the Chinese regulator basically said, well, whatever we do is now going to apply to Hong Kong. And that is both good and bad. In some ways, it clarifies things for the Hong Kong companies that go public. But it also means that there could be clashing jurisdictions between the Hong Kong regulators and the Chinese regulators. So I don't know where this is going to shake out in the end, but at least there's some attempt to try to clarify this whole situation.
Gordon, a clarification. The U.S. also has regulators, and those regulators have been speaking about Chinese stocks listing or IPOing in America. Has that situation clarified?
It's clarifying, John. Chinese companies essentially had big exemptions from U.S. disclosure rules, which were negotiated between the Chinese and American securities regulators about a decade ago. But those exemptions are going to be phased out relatively quickly. And that makes it very difficult for some Chinese companies because Beijing doesn't want them to disclose information on national security and other grounds. And the U.S. insists that they do so if they remain on American markets.
You have a question for Andrew.
Andrew, Hong Kong has always been a place where Chinese companies have come to tap foreign capital. With restrictions now in the States and other places, are you going to see Chinese companies devote more of their attentions on listing in Hong Kong when they want an offshore listing?
I think the answer is yes, but there is a lot of skepticism because Hong Kong is losing a lot of its international bankers and community. Both because of the national security laws here and also because of the very harsh quarantines we have up to 3 weeks recently and now down to 2 weeks. So a lot of the international bankers are leaving, which means that all their connections they have in New York and in London are disappearing. However, as we well know, there's many very experienced internationally educated mainlanders who are likely to take those positions. So I think Hong Kong's future is still set for IPOs and listing global companies, but a lot of those deals are going to be increasingly run and paid for by mainland money.
I go to a series of headlines about a new company called SenseTime, which to describe generally, as you both gentlemen have both guided me, is about artificial intelligence. In other words, the top of the top of the top of inquiry. One says SenseTime opens massive AI data center, aligns with Beijing's vision. The other says China's SenseTime ponders future after U.S. blacklisting. Gordon, what is SenseTime to be blacklisted by the U.S.?
Well, since time has been involved in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, and its technology has been used by Beijing to control the local population. And so it's ended up on the U.S. entity list, which is administered by the Commerce Department, which essentially means that no U.S. person can deal with SenseTime unless they get a license from Commerce.
You have a question for Andrew Gordon.
Andy, you know, when you look at the Chinese attitudes, the mainland Chinese attitudes towards Hong Kong, it's always sort of been an other place, even though it is technically part of the People's Republic of China and effectively is now after the national security law. People in Hong Kong, though, do they still see themselves as separate and apart from the mainland, or has that distinction been erased?
Well, even the story we're talking about here with the rules applying to the mainland, in the press conference, the administrator for the regulator said, well, this applies to overseas jurisdictions, including Hong Kong. So even in the mainland, they still talk about Hong Kong as overseas or a foreign jurisdiction. Within Hong Kong, there's a real schizophrenia here. We're all scratching our heads trying to figure out, like, are we part of the mainland or are we still separate? From Beijing's point of view, they love Hong Kong because it's got an RMB convertibility area outside of the closed borders of China. It's got a population of trained lawyers and bankers who are now much more controllable than they were a few years ago. And they figure there's going to be tons of banking business for them. So from their point of view, they see it as kind of a mainland city that's a little more open than the rest of China.
Andy, where are we headed? Does anybody have a vision of where we'll be in 10 or 30 years? Two different styles of IPOs, one for China and one for the rest of the world. Does anybody talk that harshly?
Well, the problem is that China is, despite all of its economic problems, which we've discussed on your show, it is a large population with an emerging market kind of future, unlike the United States, which is not going to be growing as quickly in the future. So the long term, I expect more integration. I'm one of those people who sort of is optimistic. And I also think that all the bad stuff that Xi Jinping is doing now in terms of controlling the economy is going to be very tough for him to keep up because he's squelching a lot of economic activity that would be beneficial to people. So I'm one of those people who sees a long, better future and not two separate warring camps. But maybe I'm just overly optimistic.
Gordon, we have about a minute.
Andy, the Federal Reserve is going to tighten interest rates starting in March. What's the effect on Hong Kong going to be?
Well, they're worried about outward flow of capital to higher interest rates. But since they control capital flows, that's not too difficult. People say that the domestic bank here will have to increase rates. But they lend basically to where they want to lend, not because of interest rate flows. So I don't think the impact can be quite as large as a lot of the banks are saying.
And therefore, the reports that as the Federal Reserve sneezes, how does it go when the Federal Reserve sneezes, everybody in Asia gets a cold? That you don't see that applying to China.
They've got a closed capital account, so the money can't go flow wherever the interest rates are higher. So they've got a lot of control about how they handle their domestic monetary policy. So I don't think it's going to be a huge impact. It's worrisome for them, but not as much as it would be in some other countries.
And the exciting news here also we have to note is that that's the wind of Hong Kong that we hear with Andy, because it is a wintry day, even in Hong Kong, which enjoys a completely different climate than we do here in the East Coast of the United States. At least it's not snowing, Andy.
Yes, I'm grateful for that.
Yes. Andrew Collier is the managing director of Orient Capital Research. He's in Hong Kong. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, is the Twitter address. He posts at Newsweek, Gatestone, and The Hill. This is CBS, Eye on the World, Eye on the Windy World of Hong Kong. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hi, this is Cheekies from the Cheekies and Chill podcast. My fur babies give me everything, and I wish I could give just as much back. But hey, I'm only human. That's why I trust Hill's Pet Nutrition. Hill's science-led nutrition helps you give more love than humanly possible. Most days my schedule is jam-packed. I'm either out all day recording new episodes of Cheekies and Chill, or I'm stuck in back-to-back business meetings. And I feel guilty knowing my babies Pancho and Rayu are at home waiting for me to get back. But when I'm finally home, that's when I show them how much I love them by feeding them their favorite pet food, so they can taste mi amor profundo. This human understands, science does more. Find the right food at hillspet.com/iHeart.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.